We are starting the new book of Sefer Vayikra.
We need to have something.
Hello?
Sorry.
Erev Tov Umvora. Okay. This is the book that all the speakers love, Sefer Vayikra.
Yes.
If you ask them what is the...
The reason for love.
What is the best book they want to talk about? It's definitely not going to be Sefer Vayikra. It can be Bereishit, Shmot, Bamidbar, Dvarim. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that Sefer Vayikra is talking about what? You know what Sefer Vayikra is talking about? Do you know?
I'll share with Mark.
Why?
Sacrifices.
The whole book is talking about sacrifice, called also Torat Kohanim. And like on the surface, it looks quite boring, if you can say. It's not very interesting, especially that we know that we unfortunately still haven't got the Beit HaMikdash. And we've got we don't sacrifice any sacrifices.
What so do young children start with?
That's the one they start
with.
Why
did they start with Vayikra?
Can we do about Purim?
Last week I forgot about Purim. We'll talk about, we'll put Purim also in inside. So.
To ask questions.
They say Yavohu Tehorim, Yavohu Tehorim, veYa'avdu betYa'asku betahara. Tehorim, the children are pure; they didn't sin. So, the pure will come and deal with purity, which is we're talking about tahara, Kohanim, and etc. So that's why we start at the children start with Sefer Vayikra. There are a few for other reasons. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if they still do it today, but in the Talmud Torah, that's what they used to do.
In
Cheder, yeah.
The first line is like repetitious. He called to Moshe. Who's he? Okay. Then it says Hashem called. Spoke to him. I mean, it's repetition. Why did it just start off? Hashem spoke to Moshe.
Okay, so you see, I don't even have to ask the first question. The question is so clear that everybody looks at it and is asking the question. And there is another question. There is a small aleph.
Yes. That I thought that the children begins with Vayikra because to be of humble.
Okay, so everybody has to start with Vayikra. Not only the children. But okay, maybe first of all the children. Okay. So, Vayikra el Moshe, Vaydaber Hashem elav, Ve'oel Moed le'emor, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, Ve'amarta elem. I don't know if you're saying, did you see how many times we use the verb or the meaning of talking, speaking, again and again and again? It's a very interesting point on by Kabbalah. It's the talking and using the words is really the power of speech when you can pronounce yourself, especially when you pronounce yourself in Hebrew, you put the meaning into the word. In other words, the power of speech is heavenly. It's what they call in Kabbalah Ze'er Anpin. It's the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the word is Malchut. It's kingdom. In other words, the word and the power of speech, the voice that takes out the word, when you connect them together, you get to a very high level. In other words, that's the reason, by the way, that in the old times, they didn't use, and that's why the Haredim also today, they use Yiddish, and don't use the Hebrew language in order to speak on normal stuff. Not because they don't want to talk Hebrew, and not because they don't know Hebrew. It's because it's the holy language. And the words are holy. So you don't use the holy language just for give me a glass of water, or how are you? Or how was the party yesterday? Or if I'm talking about nice things, definitely not talking about not nice things with a holy language. So that's why they speak in Yiddish. And by the way, in the Spanish they have Ladino. It's also that people in the old times tried not to use the Hebrew language, which is the holy language, for daily use. Only when they learned Torah, or only if they were talking about high things. Because the words have power. So you see here, Vayikra, Vayidaber, it's important to understand the combination, the connection between the power of speech and the word that you're taking out of your mouth. The voice and the word.
But yes, Hashem gave to us for us to transmit our thoughts to others. So the speech must be there. We must talk.
Of course. How do you talk? Language. You by yourself said right now that God gave it to you. So do you abuse it? Of course not. Unfortunately, that's what's happening.
ברוך אתה אדינו
אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
אמן.
Okay. So we want to know what's going on here. As you said, ויקרא אל משה. Who called? And he called Moses. Who called him? Who called him?
Hashem.
Who says?
I don't know.
Ah, so you said right now you know.
Yes.
Now you don't know, decide. No. You know or you don't know?
I know.
No, that's the continuance. Vayikra el Moshe, vayidaber Hashem elav le'emor. So as you ask, why is it not clear? Vayikra Hashem el Moshe, vayidaber elav. Why? Yes.
There's only one he, right? Throughout us. There's no other he. When the he talks to you, we know it's Hashem. He.
By the way, one of the commentators says that it's not Hashem. It's an angel calling Moshe, and then God speaks to him.
Why would God use an intermediary to speak to Moshe?
That's a different question.
I'm sorry.
But the thing is, the interesting thing that normally we all know, and that's what most of the commentator says, that it's God calling him. So the question is, why is it written Vayikra el Moshe? Why is not written Vayikra Hashem el Moshe? You ask the question. You understand there is a problem here. So let's try an answer. Now, if I want to... What do you think? If I look at the Pasuk, what is important here in the beginning, Vayikra el Moshe? What would you say is the important part
here? The reason he called him.
Calling.
Who is he calling? That's Moshe. The important part. Exactly. Vayikra el Moshe. In other words, here it's important to understand that God speaks to who?
To Moshe.
Now, let's imagine to that what's happening here. We have Oel Moed, the tent of testimony, and we have Moshe Rabbeinu. Where is he standing?
Outside.
Outside, okay. So God is calling him from?
From inside.
Or from heaven, who knows. And is he standing alone there?
No. Maybe.
So who hears the call of God? Everybody?
No.
How do we know that only Moshe Rabbeinu heard it? Vayikra el Moshe. You ask the question, it's the answer.
What is he?
He speaks only to Moshe Rabbeinu. The only guy who hears the voice is Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what kind of voice was it? Rashi speaks about it.
Yeah.
What is a low voice? A loud voice? How is it that only Moshe Rabbeinu is hearing it? Did he stop when it got to Moshe Rabbeinu? What's going on here? And what's the meaning of it? It is just a miracle, or the Torah is trying to teach us something. Now the Aleph is small. Why? Why is the Aleph small?
First, because Moshe was the most humble.
So what's the connection between the small Aleph and Moshe Rabbeinu being humble? You're right what you're saying, but what's the connection?
Because she's the Vaikra.
And if you say it without the Aleph, what do you say?
Vaikar.
What is Vaikar? Vaikar is like accident. Mikre. Vaikar. Mikre. And by the way, when Moshe Rabbeinu reveals himself to Bilam, he's Vaikar. So Moshe Rabbeinu wants to show everybody, I am like everybody else. I'm not something special. Because Vaikra is calling in a voice of love and appreciation. It's a high level of calling. It's not by Mikre. Vaikra el Moshe. God calls Moshe Rabbeinu.
They're calling you up to the Torah. Right?
Yeah, wow, this is something special. So Moshe Rabbeinu puts the Aleph and he makes it small. But I heard a very interesting explanation, beautiful explanation. Why is only Moshe Rabbeinu hearing the voice of God? We say Aleph Ktana is for what? For humbleness. In other words, if you want to hear the voice of God, what do you have? You have need to be very humble. Or let's translate it a little more. If you like to listen to yourself, so, and you don't listen to others, you cannot hear also the voice of God. But if you listen to others, then you can listen to the voice of God. In other words, the first thing is humble. To be humble means I'm not the only one in the room. I have to hear what other people have to say. And unfortunately, we all know that a lot of times we like to listen to ourselves. We don't like so much to listen to others. And if we listen, sometimes it's coming from here, getting out from there.
Then it's not listen. It's to pay attention. It's another reason.
So if we want to listen to the voice of God, we have to try and hear it. And to try and hear it is, first of all, be humble. And try to listen to others. I never forget, Lahavdil Elef Alfei Avdolot, my uncle, Rav Shalom, he had a special method in the system for selling. People used to come, you sit on the chair, and they were arguing on a price. So what did he do? He was like in front of them, falling asleep. And this guy is talking, you know, I need to give me a discount and this and that. And he's talking, and after talking for 2 or 3 minutes, says, what do you say? So my uncle says, what did you say? So he starts again. Mango says, falls asleep again. So, you know, after 3 times trying to lower the price, this guy gave up and says, okay, what do you want? He says, I told you what I want. Take it. So, you see, listening has an influence on people. And if you don't listen to people, you aggravate people. And it's not nice. So here we see that you can use the way you listen to do things. So in other words, if I want to hear somebody, I listen to him. If I don't want to hear him, I block myself. So in order to listen to the voice of God, first of all, I need to want to hear the voice of God. If I don't want to hear the voice of God, I cannot hear it. So first of all, is the Torah telling us, Vayikra el Moshe. This calling is only to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayidaber Hashem elav. Then the Torah is telling us that God is talking to him. But the Torah wanted to tell us, first of all, an interesting point. It's not important, it is important that God is calling Moshe Rabbeinu, but the point here that the Torah wants to make is that only Moshe Rabbeinu is hearing the voice. Vayikra el Moshe. Who is calling? Vayidaber Hashem elav. God is calling. But that's not the issue here. The issue here is that God, if I would say Vayikra Hashem el Moshe, okay. So it's another pasuk that God talks to Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing special. But when you say Vayikra el Moshe, here is something special. Only Moshe Rabbeinu hears it, though there are other people around. Because he's outside the tent, he's not inside. Vayidaber Hashem elav. מאוהל מאוד לאמור, דבר אל בני ישראל ואמרת עליהם, אדם כי רקריב מכם. After understanding that Sefer Vayikra starts with humbleness and with Moshe Rabbeinu hearing the voice of God, and he is the only one who is hearing the voice of God, God is telling him to tell Am Israel about the way you sacrifice and what sacrifice and in what case you sacrifice, bringing all the sacrifices. The whole parsha is talking about it. And there is an interesting point here. It says, Daber el bnei Israel v'amarta alehem Adam ki yakriv mechem. Adam ki yakriv mechem. What is Adam ki yakriv mechem? Now let's see if we will see again in our parsha the phrase Adam. You can try and look, you won't find it. You will find I'm looking. Cannot find. Perek Bet, Venefesh ki takriv. So what was it in the beginning? Adam ki akriv. Now it's a nefesh ki takriv. What is the difference between Adam and nefesh?
What? Nefesh is the soul. Nefesh is only the soul.
The soul. And the Adam
is two things.
Is the human being. As he was created. Okay. So, we see that Adam is being used in the beginning. And now, we is turned to Nefesh. But then, we go a little farther out. Let's hope I found it. I find it quickly. Perek Daled, Pasuk 2. Daber el Bnei Israel Emor.
Pasuk which?
2. Pasuk Bet. Okay, Perek Daled, Pasuk 2. Perek Daled, yes?
Yeah.
Daber Bnei Israel Emor, Nefesh ki techta. Who is sinning here?
The soul.
The soul is sinning. And who is bringing the sacrifice in the beginning? Adam ki akriv. Okay? What can we learn from here? That the Torah is using for the sacrifice the phrase Adam. For the sin, it's using the phrase Nefesh. Is this the right order? It should be opposite. Who is doing the sin?
Adam.
Adam. Not the Nefesh. Not the soul.
No, but it's the nefesh from the Adam.
Yeah, but the question is, why is it written nefesh ki techta? So who is doing the sin here?
I think it's the soul that does.
That's what's written here, the nefesh ki techta. So the, who is doing the sin?
The nefesh.
The nefesh. Is this logical?
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Can the nefesh sin?
The nefesh is inside the man, and the man is only...
Who is actually sinning? The nefesh or the Adam?
The action Adam. Is the Adam.
So, why do I write...
But who command the man?
Okay, so nefesh. Why... Okay, so why do you use Adam ki akriv? Why don't you write here nefesh ki takriv? We saw that they're using Nefesh Ki Takriv the second time. But in the beginning it says Adam Ki Akriv. So we have to understand why. Why here, when we're talking about the sacrifice itself, is Adam. When we're talking about the sin, is the Nefesh. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Of course. If we are making a definition, the definition should be that the soul is bringing the sacrifice and the man is the one who is sinning. But you see, this is always the problem. The understanding that there is a connection that cannot be, you cannot separate it between the soul and the body, between the spiritual part and the physical part. They are connected together. There is a famous mashal that I think the Magmi Dumna brings it, about a king that had a beautiful garden with trees, with beautiful fruits. And he wanted to find a guard to keep the garden that nobody will take the fruits. And he thought, if I put a normal guy there, he wouldn't stand in a temptation and he would take from the fruits. So he had a brilliant idea. I'll bring two guards. One that can see but cannot walk, and the other one can walk but cannot see. So the one who sees cannot walk, so he cannot go and take. The one who walks cannot see, so he cannot see the fruits. So he left them there. So they're sitting there smelling the wonderful smell of the fruits. And the guy who sees, he says, you should see those fruits. They look so delicious. He says, but unfortunately, I cannot go and take them. So the blind guy says, what's the problem? Climb on my shoulders. Give me the direction and we take the fruits. And that's what they did. So whether we're sitting there and eating and eating and eating. And 2 months later, the king comes to see his beautiful garden. Mm-hmm. And he cannot believe what he sees. The whole place is covered with,
pills.
And
they eat it.
The fruits, almost there's no fruits on the trees. So he comes to the guard, says, what happened here? So he goes to the blind guy, says, tell me what happened here. Who took the fruits? Says, what do you want from me? I cannot see the fruits. So he went to the other guy. He says, yes, I can see, but I cannot walk and take them. What do you want from me? So the king says, what do you think, I'm stupid? Took the blind guy and put a tuff on his shoulder, the one who can see, and says, now, this is the way you sinned, and this is the way you're going to get back punished. That's the mashal. Mm-hmm. And the nimshal is very simple. When, after 120, we'll go up to heaven, and God is going to ask the soul, why did you sin? The soul is going to say, I sin? I cannot sin. A soul without a body can sin? No, the body sin. So God coming to the body, why did you sin? The body's going to say, I sin. If you take the neshama out of me, what have you got?
Nothing.
Just the body doesn't move. So what? Says God, what do you think? Neshama, body. The way you were created, that's the way you're going to stand in front of God. God is going to connect the neshama again with the body, and that's the way he's going to judge us. In other words, there are no excuses. The neshama is pure. The body is the sinner. The body says, I am without the neshama, nothing. The neshama says, I am without the body, also nothing. The truth is that the connection is so strong. And that's the reason we have 5 levels on the neshama. We have what we call nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, v'yechida. There is the lower part, which is the nefesh, which is the nefesh habe'emit, what we call in Hebrew. It's like what animals got. Then we have the spirit. And then we have the soul. The neshama. Then there are 2 parts that we don't talk about because they are already the connection with God, which are very high level. We know and talk on the 3 levels. which is nefesh, ruach, neshama. Now, why do we need all those levels in the neshama? Because imagine to yourself, for example, that the neshama is a neshama, pure neshama, and you connect it with a body. And the body can only function through the neshama. What do you think is going to happen to the body? What the neshama wants?
Wants
spiritual stuff. Yeah. What the body wants?
Physical
stuff. Now, if the neshama is what makes the body tick, what do you think is going to happen to the body? Is it going to eat? Is it going to drink? No. The neshama doesn't need those things. And if the neshama is 100% spiritual, what will happen to the body? That will last maybe for a day or two, and that's it, finished. So what did God do? He built in the neshama a few levels that they are the connection. The neshama connects to the spirit connects to the nefesh be'emit, and the nefesh be'emit is connected to the body. And this way, the neshama is really a part, an actual part of the body. The same way, by the way, is in nature. If you look at nature, you have still life, you have growing life, and you have animals. And then you have human being. What is the connection between them? There's also a connection. Still life, for example, a rock, you have almogim. How do you say corals?
Corals,
they are really a rock that grows. They grow slowly, but they grow. In other words, they are the connection between the level of the still life, of the rock, to the growing power. Now, all the plants, what connects them to the animal, to the chai? You have flowers that eat. They eat flies. So they are the connection between the power of growing of the plants to animals, to life of animals. Now, what is the connection between animals and human being?
If you're a vegetarian.
If you read Darwin's theory,
yes,
it's the monkey. Mm-hmm. It is the monkey, but it doesn't change. It's only the connection. Show us that through nature, everything is built in a circle. Everything is connected. It's an unbelievable. That's the way also the soul is being built. In other words, as we saw and see, Adam ki yakriv ve'nefesh ki techta, to show us that the human being is built of a soul and a body, and they are connected together. You cannot separate them. There are no excuses.
Yes. We Jews are, we have two nefesh. What if we are born with two nefesh? Yes? No?
No, we are. Jew are another level. The Kuzari says that the difference between a Jew
and a goy
is like the difference between human being and an animal. Yes. Yes.
No,
because of this special part that we have inside. But the goyim also can become us, like us. It's not like, okay, that's it, finished. The goyim, if they want to join us, they can become Jew. They can convert. They can convert to be Jewish.
We have no two souls?
No, we have one soul, which is built from levels.
And is that you are explaining?
Yes. No, there are levels in the soul.
Have these parts.
Everybody has those parts.
Goyim also?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But we have another level. Uh-huh. We have a part of God that connects us directly to God. Mm. A special part. Which is the neshama, Jewish neshama. This is when we feel sometimes. It's also very interesting, going to talk about it in the Gemara tomorrow, they say that sometimes we feel suddenly sadness or happiness, and we don't know why. And the thing is that this is really Vayikra El Moshe. This is really God calling us. He is using the high level of the neshama that we cannot understand, because we are, as we said, connected to the body. And only if we're very developed, that's what we call Ruach HaKodesh, which when you go on a higher level is prophecy. What is prophecy? A connection to God. What is Ruach HaKodesh? Connection to God.
Can we mean also of Ruach HaKodesh?
Yes. Yes, at a certain level, of course. That's what Rashi says in a few parts of the Gemara, when we talk about Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at. That, Rashi explaining, Holy Spirit. What we ask in the tefillah every day, Chokhmah Binah V'Da'at, that is the connection between us and God. That's the Holy Spirit. Each one of us got the Holy Spirit. Each one of us is connected to God. Now, this Holy Spirit, it depends on you, how you work with it. If you are working on it, it's like, for example, when we are in Egypt, so he says, they're not going to him, to listen to me, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Mikotze ruach v'avodah kasha. What is kotze ruach v'avodah kasha? Kotze ruach, ruach is spirit. Kotze is shortest of spirit. Because kotze ruach, shortest of spirit. In other words, they were so involved in hard labor that the nefesh was connected to what? To surviving. As we said, if we haven't got it in our nefesh, we wouldn't survive. So the minute you are dealing only with survivors, so to survive, what happens to you? Your neshama becomes connected more and more to earth and less to God. So that's what happened. Kotze ruach. So how do you want them now to listen to the word of God? They are, the only thing that they have in mind now is the next meal.
Like all the chilonim.
Exactly. So in other words, to be close to God, you have to work on it. As we say, when you want to listen to the voice of God, you have to try and listen to it. Otherwise you won't hear it. So all those suddenly feelings that we've get, I don't remember who says it, it's a real connection to God. In other words, our spirit, our neshama, at a high level is connected to God. In other words, a direct connection. And if something is wrong, or God wants to tell us something, it does it today through our feelings.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sure that each one of us had it here and there, that suddenly feels happiness, unfortunately sadness, and sometimes even depression. And he doesn't know why. Everything is okay, nothing changed. But suddenly I feel this strange feeling inside. God is talking to you. And you should work accordingly.
I think also always that if I have like one morning I wake up with depression. I have no koach. Then I think about avera. If you are in depression, you are making avera, because you need to thank God that you open the eyes and that you are alive and you are this. Then I take out this feeling.
In other words, if we want to be happy, the first thing we have to do is to connect to God. That's all. And sometimes God wants us to connect to Him, and He sees that we are not exactly connected, so He puts in ourselves, He gives us a sign. This is a level of Ruach HaKodesh. That's what it is. You have to understand, we are connected. We inside have a part of God. We are connected to God. But we are at a low level, so we don't feel it. God is not speaking to us as He spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu or as He spoke to the prophets. But He's speaking to us in other ways. And that's why we're also learning all those sacrifices here. All the sacrifices here have lessons to teach us. Each detail, the same as we learned in the Mishkan, in Sefer Shmot, here also in all those sacrifices, each detail has got a lesson to us.
I just wanted to say something about we youth being different to the Goyim. When I was 13, I had a very abusive teacher, and there was school on Shabbat, and I didn't go to school on Shabbat, so we incited the class against me to treat me like that. And then I couldn't do my homework anymore, and he started to write very nasty letters to his boss and to my father. And the next year I was in a completely different class, very nice people, they were very nice with me. And then I complained about what the Rosh Hashanah did with me. So I said, yes, it's because you are different. But in that class, with that abusive teacher, there was a Turkish girl, a Muslim, with a headscarf.
Yeah.
But he never bullied her. The teacher always bullied me. And then
Unfortunately, that's the story of Jewish life through history.
She
was bullied by the teacher and then by the class because she didn't come on Shabbos to the... Because you have to go on Shabbos to learn.
In Switzerland, you have Shabbos. So she got dispensation and they used the Shabbos to incite the class against her. Only years later, one of the fellow pupils told her. What he was doing on Shabbat, incited the class again.
I said she learned what it was to be a Jew.
Yeah.
And the brother of that girl who was in the other class, because they were 11 months apart, so he said he was like that to you because you are different.
We are different, and we're proud that we are different. And that is exactly the point. We are proud that we are different because we are at a different level, because we are closer to God. But we have to act accordingly. And the minute we act accordingly, everything around us is going to change also. And sometimes God is bringing us through, unfortunately, because we are at that level. So we go through life and sometimes with difficulties in order to work on ourselves and make ourselves better. Because the whole world depends on us. The whole world stands around us. We are the messengers of God on earth. V'atem tiyulim amlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. God is telling us.
The most amazing thing was in the teacher who bullied me in my class was a Turkish girl with a headscarf.
I know.
And he never ever bullied her, just me, because I was Jewish.
I'm sorry to tell you, nothing changed. When you go abroad, on the airport, they check you. Why do they check you? Because you are a terrorist? Who are the terrorists? Jews? Who are the terrorists today? Jews?
No.
No. Who? Muslims. What? Do you think the world doesn't know it? But who do they hate?
The Jews.
But that's... You see, it's very hard to say it, but according to Kabbalah, our job is to unite the world. Our job is to bring everybody to the voice of God. That's what God is calling us. Vayikra el Moshe, He calls us to do what we have to do in order to bring the light to everybody. But if we don't do our job, the world hates us. Because truly, we don't do our job. They don't understand why they hate us. But if you want to know why, I tell you why. As long as we are not going to be united between us, as long as we are not going to take the light and spread the light outside, we are not doing our job. And if we are not doing the job, we cause the world problems. Everything that is happening in the world is because of us. So, and they are right. Unfortunately, they are right. So, if they hate us, are they right or wrong?
Wrong.
Depends how you look at it. See, that's the point. That's exactly the point. They are wrong. But when we look at it from our point of view to understand what's inside, because it's not logical.
It's not logical.
Exactly. They hate us not from the right reasons. But they hate us because there is a reason. And the reason is that we are not doing our job. We don't look at them. We are not doing our job. Because if we believe in God, then we know that everything is from God. In other words, when they try to kill us, when they go amongst us and kill people, who sent them? At the end of the way, who sent them? Hashem. It's like the guy is hitting the dog with a stick, and the dog is attacking the stick. But who hit him?
The stick,
yes. But somebody hold the stick.
Yes, of course.
And that's exactly the point. I want to finish this lesson with another interesting lesson about how do we learn from each one of the details interesting things. One of the things that you're not allowed to bring with a sacrifice, you know what it is?
Salt?
No, salt you have to bring. That's exactly. We'll talk about it in a minute. Well, let's find it. No, I'm talking something that you bring with sacrifice a certain things, but there are some things you're not allowed to bring with the sacrifices.
No.
I'm find it in a minute. I'll find it in a minute. No, you find it? You can help me. Look around and see what you're not allowed to bring with the sacrifices. I have femeod, honey. Where is the pasuk?
What is?
I don't have my glasses.
Okay. Pasuk 11. Pasuk 11 in Perek Bet.
Bet?
Okay. Perek Bet.
Go back.
Pasuk 11. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perek Bet. Pasuk 11.
Okay.
Kol min in Vayikra. Kol hamincha asher takrivu laHashem. All the offering you're going to sacrifice to God. Lo te'aseh chametz. Pasuk 11 in Bet. Kol hamincha asher takrivu lo te'aseh chametz. So now we meet something that we're going to meet in a few weeks. Chametz. Kichol seor. What is seor? No. Seor is the leaven. How do you call it?
Leaven.
Vekol dvash and henny honey. Lo taktiru menu yishel Hashem. You're not allowed to sacrifice this to God. Not honey and not the chometz, the seor.
Yeah, well, yeast, so,
what
it?
About the chalis that are in the... Well, they're not sacrificed, they're just...
There. Only two sacrifices in the whole thing, only two are chometz.
That's the bread
alone. The lechem, the lachmei todah, when somebody brings a sacrifice to God to thank him, he brings chometz also, chalot chametz. And the two breads on Shavuot are from chametz. All the other stuff is not chametz.
Not chametz?
Not allowed to.
Flour is never chametz.
If it's not chametz, it's not chametz. But not allowed chametz. Matzah is also flour.
It's only the time.
It's the east. It's the east. How do you call it in the east? That it's the seor.
Yes.
The seor is the east.
It means spores, isn't it?
And it's why? So the question is why? No, flour is not chometz. The east is chometz. And when the flour grows, it's chometz, becomes chometz.
And the honey.
No, there's wild
I'm asking.
Yeast.
I'm asking, why not honey? Why not? I didn't get an answer for the yeast. Why the yeast not allowed?
Why
are you asking only on the honey? There are two things, those two things. And now if you want to make it the question even harder, Pasuk 13, וכל קורבן מתחתך במלח תמלח. ולא תשבית מלח ברית אלוקיך מעל מחתך. על כל קורבנך תקריב מלח. See how many times they're talking about salt. In other words, that Pasuk is telling us every sacrifice that you bring in the temple, the Mikdash, should be with
salt.
Honey not, salt yes. Why? Is this reasonable? Is this logical?
Honey, I thought that because the bees,
because of what?
The bees makes the honey. Is
there, by the way, the honey that we're talking here is honey of fruits.
Oh.
So, it's not honey of bees. It's okay, a honey of fruits.
State honey.
But it's something like...
Okay, I'll tell you. I'll tell you.
Salt brings everything out.
Salt
brings out the blood.
Brings out the blood and everything.
Okay, first of all, let's see why not honey and why not yeast or chometz.
Yes.
Chometz or yeast, they are the symbol of pride. They grow. They swell. How do you say it? They swell. There. And in the temple, as we said, how do we start Vayikra? With a small aleph.
Humbleness.
So there is no place for pride. Honey or fruits, when do you have the honey from the fruits? At what stage of the fruit?
When they're ripe.
When they're ripe.
Which is the end.
Yeah.
We don't... We are talking about beginnings. In other words, before it gets rotten, you have the honey. And if you want to make it in Hebrew, you will it goes very nice. Rikavon.
What's
rikavon? Rotten. Rikavon is the same letters as korban. The korban is not rikavon. It's the opposite of it. It's growing. It's developing. It's connecting to God. So there is no place for the honey, which symbolizes the end, the things getting rotten, and not for yeast that symbolizes the pride. From the other side, salt is water. Without salt, there is no life. Salt is white. Salt stands forever. Doesn't get rotten. You can have salt, doesn't get rotten. And by the way, with David HaMelech, God did a Brit Melach.
A Brit Melach?
Why Brit Melach? Because it stands forever. Because if God says this is a Brit,